Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm Janine Vosper, your host, and today with me I have Bronwyn Condon. And Bronwyn is the managing partner of Marsh & Partners and has more than 25 years' experience in business development and management accounting. So she's going to cover some great topics that anyone that's listened to these before knows that it's just not my thing. So I'm going to learn so much this morning, I am sure. So Bronwyn joined Marsh & Partners in 1994 and quickly moved into management roles. And as a partner, she has had an integral part in the firm's growth and success. She left as a grad with M&P and went to London, where she worked with Universal Studios and became the CFO. So at the end of a visa, she returned to Australia and to M&P and to their Brisbane office. So as a business owner herself, she gets it. Running a business is hard work, but when it's all working well and you're on track, it is a lot of fun. The Bronwyn works with businesses on strategy and long-term vision so they can feel that they're in control and working with purpose and have time to enjoy the benefits of working for themselves. Now, I think that's one of the biggest things, isn't it? We sometimes don't allow that time to do it, but I'm going to love this because once we get things working well, obviously that works. Her passion is getting businesses into shape so owners can work on their own goals. So whether that is to create a new project, wealth creation outside the business, or moving on with the business, Bronwyn wants to be part of the journey to bring clarity and support to business owners who feel like they have to do it all themselves. And I see that all the time, Bronwyn. That's probably one of the biggest things, isn't it? The amount of hats that business owners have to wear, especially with accounting, and rather than handing over to someone expert like yourself who can, you know, help us focus on what's important. Welcome.
Thank you. And that is correct. Sorry, Janine. Yeah. Business owners, you know, want to do it all themselves. They want to have that control because they don't want to let it go, because they're scared that if they let it go, what's going to happen? But if they don't let it go, then how do they progress? How do they go and do what's fun?
Yes. And it's those things that are most the stickiest for people and the hardest for people to, you know, they have to spend time and focus on, because it's nothing to do with what they're good at, that the technician in their business, it's something completely different, like accounting. And they don't spend too much time on something they don't like doing. I know I have changed a fair bit with my bookkeeping, and it's certainly not my favorite thing to do, probably, at all.
That's fine.
Oh, I've got so many friends that are accountants and bookkeepers. I'm just always in awe of them because they're just brilliant at what they do and how they do it. I love it. So I know when we've spoken, you've said that businesses should be fun, and I think a lot of people don't know that, probably. Yeah. Maybe the way. So what do you mean about fun, and how do you get fun? How do you have fun?
Yeah. So you've got to enjoy coming to work, getting up each day. If you don't enjoy getting up, then you're actually not going to be productive and you're not going to be efficient in what you do. And I think it comes back down to your passion. Why did you get into business to start with? There was obviously something that you saw, whether it wasn't there in another business, or you couldn't get that product or that service. So you started your business for that reason. So it's getting back to that bare basics, because that's what you love and that's how you have fun.
Yes, doing what we love. Absolutely. Because it's exactly right. And I talk about this with a whole lot of different topics, is that we do start business with that intent that I love being a massage therapist or a coach or a trainer or an engineer. I'm going to start this business. And then all of a sudden you're doing everything except what you love. And then And with me, I'm usually talking about focusing on sales because you are the salesperson in your business. And it doesn't matter how much of a sales team you have, you're still the focus of that business. But you need to, you know, realize that if you're not great at it, then you either upskill or you get somebody else to do that for you.
Correct. And we grow as well is the big thing. So we might start out as a one person band and then all of a sudden we have 10 people underneath us. So how do we manage all that? How do we, you know, do what we do plus manage home or whatever the case may be, which is where, you know, go back to what you love and get people in to do your HR or your accounting or your strategy or your, you know, process improvement, whatever it is. Just get somebody else that can just do it, smack it, it's out, and it's done. And then you can get on with it.
And there's so many consultants and whether virtual or live, you know, in person assistants that you can get that are expert in a particular field. And you don't even need to hire a person as a staff member. You can contract them for a period of time and get something done and then move on, can't you?
Yeah, you can. And I think COVID has also taught us that, in that you don't have to do face-to-face. You can just spend an hour or half an hour with somebody on a Zoom and get just as much knowledge, which therefore just quickens up the process for you. And you can, and a lot of consultants now are on a basis of, you know, just spend an hour with me and off you go. You don't have to sign up now for, you know, 12-month plans and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, and that's sort of helps people avoid that fear of, you know, committing to something that they, one, may not work for them. It's probably the most important thing, because it will cost money if it doesn't work. It's good value and investment if it does. So it's that uncertainty to do that. So being able to get, and there's so much diversity in consultants. You know, there might be something in a very specific field and you can utilize those skills.
And I think the biggest thing you just sort of touched on is that you should be able to see very quickly whether it's a benefit to you and your business. So, you know, if you spend whatever $400 on something, and if you don't see that $400 back into your back pocket, then you know that may not work. So you can move on and you can do the next step of what's required.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I know, you know, even a lot with marketing, they talk about that ROI. That, you know, it's, I know people that spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars every month on marketing, but it works for them and they get definitely get that money back on their investment. So it as long as you're getting that return on investment, I think that's the value part, isn't it? So what are the main problems that you see with for people in business, from that, you know, accounting, but also the vision and the planning part of their business?
I think a lot of businesses get bogged down in the day-to-day operations of their business. They lose track of where they're trying to go or what they're trying to do. They don't have their plan. They don't have their vision. All of a sudden, it's just, oh, I've gone from, you know, $100,000 turnover to a $2 million turnover. I don't even know how I did it. So I'll just keep going. But that's not always the best strategy. Because I'm sure in that process, they may have lost staff, you know, they're doing their head in, going a bit insane, if I can say that, because they've lost their way. They've lost, you know, what needs to happen or not happen. And then they just get bogged down in that day-to-day stuff.
Yes, and that's a lot of that processes of running a business. I know when I was GM sales for a company, we had about a $10 million turnover, but there were two businesses in there that did both. So the company, you know, was quite significant. And we kept adding to the warehousing and adding to the admin staff doing, because of the processing, you know, there was a lot more processing to it. Because I was running the sales team, I was sort of saying that we need to improve systems. That would have helped. But also, sometimes that part of the business gets missed when people are trying to catch up all the time. And then down the track, because you haven't got enough sales continued coming in, you've then got too many backroom staff, if you know what I mean. It's hard to keep that balance, isn't it?
It is. And so it's really important to understand your organizational chart and go, okay, what do I look like? What do I need to look like? What's my gap? And therefore, you know, work backwards on that. Can somebody be doing another three things so that this person over here isn't, you know, killing themselves effectively and trying to do what they need to do? So it's all those little things that can make a big difference.
Mm. It is, isn't it? It is just small things in the business, but it sometimes takes somebody from outside, or usually takes someone from outside, to look in it to a business to see what needs to be done. When you're in there working in it day in, day out, you get lost in the doing rather than the observing, don't you?
Yeah, and somebody there just to challenge what you're doing. And while you're doing it. So business, I think, can be quite lonely. You know, you can go to the pub and have a conversation with your girlfriends or, you know, your mates or whatever. But at the end of the day, maybe they don't understand what it's like. So it's really about having somebody that you can just go and talk to and go, hey, I'm thinking of this. What do you reckon?
No, it's great having that. Just on a side note, that's when I started the We Are Women Mastermind group for women, because you need that space where you just with peers and people who are in the same boat, and they can share their issues and get some great feedback as well. It's absolutely vital. We can't do everything ourselves. We definitely need that support and assistance. And when doing that, that means they lose their why, don't they?
Yeah. They do, very much so. And you know, from a woman's perspective, you know, we try and do so much and we try to be that everything, but we aren't. We're human.
Yes.
And it's okay, but it's understanding that and giving ourselves permission around that scenario that, yes, we might be a wife and a mother and a daughter and a whatever. There's only one of us and then we've only got one life.
Yes. And if we don't get it right in our own business, then it means that we then probably have to return to a job. And that is not what we want to do. If we've gone to that, you know, that to manifest our own business and create our own business, then we definitely don't want to be stepping back into something because we haven't been able to see the steps required.
A lot of people go into business because they want that flexibility scenario. Mm. So how do you get that flexibility back if you're working, you know, 60-hour weeks?
So how do they get it back?
It comes down to that focus, what's important, having that little priority list. And making sure we just tick it off each day. And if we don't get to it today, then just make if it's still a priority, then we do it tomorrow. But that's the important thing. You've just got to focus. I mean, I've had clients that have nearly gone to the wall and we've just sat down and go, okay, the only thing you need to focus on is what you're good at, which is going and selling to clients. That's what you like to do. You like going out and doing that business development stuff. And they've gone from going to the wall to a $25 million business again. It's again just that little thing, focus, push away all the other stuff, delegate that away, and then, you know, you go back to the basics, if I call it that.
Yes, yes, and going back again, as we were talking about doing what you love. And you've got something that you've got that you suggest as a 90-day action plan?
Yep. So I would normally sit down with my clients once a quarter and we have a chat where the business is at, what's going on, you know, what are we struggling with? And then having a plan of what we're going to do over the next 90 days to move the business to the next level, whatever that level is. But it puts it into writing. It makes the client and myself accountable because we're both party to this scenario. We both want the business to grow or whatever it is that our plan is. So it's being accountable to each other and then making sure that it works. Now, The 90-day plan might have, you know, four things on it, for example, and two of those things may not work. That's okay, but at least we know that it doesn't work. But it's around that execution piece. It's around ensuring that, you know, we are doing something and we're ticking it off. Because as humans, you know, achieving success, all that sort of stuff's important. So by ticking off something, we go, yes, I've done it. Okay.
I love ticking off things. You know, even things I've thought about in my head, and I thought, oh, I've done it. So I'll write it down and then I'll tick it off.
Yep. We're all the same.
we like to achieve. And I'm assuming then to do that, because I know a big problem with a lot of people in their own business, that is that sense of overwhelm we're talking about. But one of the topics I talk on regularly is delegate.
Yeah.
And people don't want to let go because someone else might do it wrong or differently.
And that's okay. They can do that, because if they do it wrong, then they won't do it wrong a second time. But if you keep doing it for them, you're actually going to not help yourself. And if they do it differently, doesn't matter. Did it get the same result? Does it mean that, you know, the other staff around go, I get that, but I didn't get what you said. So have we not won? So again, doesn't matter. My philosophy is always to employ people better than me, because it makes my job easier, but it brings new ideas and fresh ideas in. And that's a good thing.
I think it's a brilliant thing. I particularly like it when people challenge me on something, and I think it's human nature. The first thing is to go, what? And then step back and go, you know what? That is a really good idea. I really like the way that you've looked at that differently. Let's investigate. It may or may not work. But it's often, I'm on quite a few boards, and I encourage people to come on the boards. I know who are going to be difficult, because I won't learn if I'm president and everyone just goes, yes, Janine, fine.
Correct. And the same from your staffing perspective. If they can't challenge you, then they're just going to be a doer. Effectively in your organization, they're not going to be a thinker, they're not going to be proactive. And then how do you then achieve what you need to achieve?
And that's the difference between a manager and a leader, isn't it? Yes, big difference. And that whole part of, you know, taking on too much. And I think, and I know something that I spoke to somebody else about right at the start of COVID, and I think it was an important factor, definitely important now, is to know your finances. That's where, you know, I know a lot of people came undone is because they did not know their finances. But now we're in Queensland, and through COVID, as much as we probably will be for the next few years, is again knowing and planning your finances.
At the end of the day, cash is king. No matter what anybody says, cash is always king. But how do you get that cash? What do you need to look at? You know, what's your pipeline? What are your debtors or your accounts receivable looking like? You know, what bills do you need to pay out? What's about to hit you in the head? Tax, God help us, as well. Like, there's all these things in the background that are going to have an impact. So understanding what that looks like and where that's at means you can then plan. You don't want surprises.
No, and this year was a big surprise to, it's definitely a big surprise for most of us, but financially in our businesses as well. I know for me it was very much the opportunity to consolidate. My biggest expense in my business, because I'm a sole trader, is software, without a doubt, because I use so many different platforms, and that was the issue. I used so many different platforms, and as each one came up for expiration, and I just cancelled one today, it felt so hard because now I've got to recreate the lead pages somewhere else. But it was due on the 20th, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to cancel that because I've got two other bits of software that do the same thing and save myself a few $100 for the year. And I've gone through and done that with a lot of things and consolidated myself. And it's like any expenses that people would have in their business is one way to I mean, I'm all about generating sales because that's what I teach people to do. But you also do need to look at your expenses, don't you?
You do. And those little tweaks can make a big difference. So $200 here and there adds up very quickly. I think the other thing which you sort of mentioned was a lot of people focus on those expenses and cutting costs, but that doesn't help generate revenue. So it's making sure that what we cost, what we cut, sorry, doesn't impact on how we build our pipelines. Because that at the end of the day is what you need to do. And yes, COVID threw a bit of a spin into that. But I mean, you can look at all those people that have pivoted and made, you know, a difference. Was it Bundi Rum started making hand sanitizer, for example? You know, what can we do? That's that little change to generate revenue, because you're going to only cut costs so far.
And the other thing I've noticed people have done a lot is they've cut the price of their items. Now I ran mastermind group on Friday and we talked about putting everything up by 10%, because that just increases the revenue in your business by 10% on one simple thing. Because everyone in the room, when we looked and analyzed it, was undercutting their own value. That's a way to put it. And I've got somebody that I know at the moment is offering a few weeks of training. And has gone from $197 to $147 for a month's worth of training. And my first thought is, I know this person and I know it's not right, but my first thought is, it must be crap.
Yeah.
$147, God, you know, and because the more price on something, the more people see the value, you know, that this must be really worthwhile if they're charging this amount. And I had somebody question that with my sales training the other day. And I said, I guarantee by the time you walk out of the room that you will have that ability to speak about your product with confidence to any person, anywhere, anytime, and have the right pitch. And so that value, I have no hesitation with it, but I'm disappointed for this person because I know that she's brilliant at what she does, but I think she won't get either that, or she has to get 100 people book in instead of 10. And that's a lot more work then to work with that as well. And it's a false sense of you're creating. So then when you're working with all these people, you haven't got time to build your business.
Correct. And when we've got a tool that we use to show our clients that, you know, if you went and decreased the price by, you know, even just 1%, we just call it the 1% rule, how much volume you need to increase to get that 1% back. So, you know, go the other way. If you increase it by 1%, what the volume you would have to do instead. And you know, if you're buying something and it's $50 and the price went up by 50 cents, you're not even going to notice it. But that 50 cents is straight to your bottom line.
Yes.
There's no cost.
Yes. Yeah. And exactly right. And I know when I'm doing things now, the thing I offer, I have online training, which has a cost value to it, but it's already been developed and it was developed before COVID, which is really good as well. And so I give that away. So there's no cost, but there's a lot more value and perceived value as well. So that's, and being able to do that where you haven't got a cost to something, I think is a much better way than discounting anything.
Definitely. And, you know, people are coming to you for a reason. So why would you discount that value? And if they're going to argue over it, then, you know, are they really worth the customership that you're offering? They'll come back. They always do. But it's, you've just got to wait and you've just got to make sure that they see the value.
Yeah. So how do, and I know after, you know, the meeting we had the other day, it was a lot of discussion on it. It was probably one of the best topics of discussion. Considering all of that, how do people get to understand their finances? Because I know it was a very big question about when we work with the group on Friday, and then how do they value their worth?
Yeah, so really it comes down to just sitting down and having a conversation and looking at the business and looking at what are the drivers of the business. And then to get the value, we look at, okay, what's driving it and therefore what the value is in regards to that into the community or your target audience or whoever the case may be. But it's just that little bit of education, one bit at a time, to therefore learn and understand. And once you get it, you've got it. Like you don't lose that concept. And then it's understanding the tweak. What if I tweak that, what will happen here or what will happen there type scenario?
And that part of what I've done over time too is I started with a price when I first developed a lot of product and I went, oh, people are paying for that and they're telling me how great it is, I'll increase the price and I'll increase the price and I'll increase the price. And because I don't want to have 100 people in the room, I only want to have 8 people in the room when I do my trainings because I know that's where I can offer my best value, then it's automatically a lot more expensive, but they're getting personalized attention, which is a very different thing than somebody standing at the front and speaking to you.
And people will pay more for those sort of things. You know, one-on-one, people will pay more for that than having 8 or 20 in a room. Because, again, you get that service, you get that in-depth knowledge. It just works. So those one-on-ones are important.
The part of what I've noticed too, two of the occupations I think that do that, recognizing worth and rewarding the people, it's the accountants and lawyers, because as you grow through the ranks, your title changes usually, and with your title changes your income as well, but you're still basically doing the same work but at a different level. Whereas other companies someone might be great at sales, so they'll put them in a sales manager's role and they're terrible at managing other people. They're just, as you said, even like the owners out there making sales and developing new business. I've just noticed that with accountants and lawyers. It's one of the few occupations where you can progress without being promoted out of the job you do.
Correct.
Yeah.
But again, it's understanding where you're at, because even in the accounting role, some people just can't progress. They don't want to, you know, like different parts of their life make certain decisions for them, or they make certain decisions for them. So it really comes back down to that whole scenario of right people, right positions, including yourself as an owner.
Yes. And just that making a decision, you know, that's where a lot of the help obviously from organizations such as yourself come in.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got numerous clients, we've seen it, you know, businesses walk in and sort of go, you know, no one has my problem, but they do. They're all the same. We all have the same problems, whether it's cash flow, staff, whatever it is, we all have it. So sometimes it just, you know, having that conversation, I can sort of go, you know what, I've seen that, it doesn't really work. So let's circumnavigate that quickly and do something different. You can have a go, but maybe you have to tweak it a bit to make it work for your business.
Yes.
That's what's important, and that sounding board is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Having the sounding board, I think, is the most vital part. And that would have to be one of your takeaway points then, Bronwyn, wouldn't it?
Yeah, correct. It's only a conversation, but I tell you, those conversations can be so powerful that, you know, you'll save time, you'll save money, and you can do what you love.
I know. It just, even the other day, I, you know, with my background is in sales and I touch on marketing, but I invested 4 hours the other day with a marketing expert just to get some clarity on things that I help people get clarity on all the time. But I needed someone from outside to look at it because I was just too close to everything. And and got some amazing help and advice from this person. But we've all got to do that. Whatever the topic is, we've got to look outside ourselves and get some experts in to help. And particularly, you know, the money is the most important thing in your business, really. You need to be aware of it. So what about some other takeaway points?
I think it's pick up the phone. You know, it's not hard to have a conversation. It's not hard to, you know, go, what do you think? Or this is what I'm doing or where I'm at. And I think that by doing that simple thing, it takes the stress out of life. And then if you take the stress out, it takes out the unknown. It therefore means that, you know, you can improve. You can do what you want to do. And I think, you know, a big takeaway is a tiny tweak can make a big difference. So you don't have to, you know, implement this $100,000 computer software program, you know, going from paper to an Excel spreadsheet can make a big difference. Like, just it's simple things can make a huge difference. Increasing your price by 1% from $50 to $50.50 make a huge impact back. So those little things, that's all we have to do each day is little things, not the big things.
And that takes away the fear factor. Yes, absolutely. And
it builds your, you can do it.
And I like the idea of that setting the 90-day goals. I teach goal setting as well, but sometimes we do look too far ahead of what, rather than just, as you said before, just four things in that 90 days that you want to perfect.
Yeah, any more than four things and you won't do it. That's the reality, because it's too big again.
Yes. Yeah. How do you, what about holding, you know, people accountable? Is that part of what you do when you work with people? Yeah, I would assume that.
Yeah. So depending upon what the goal is, or those 90-day action plans, some phone calls or some face-to-faces in between. Otherwise, on that 90-day, they know, the clients know that I'm about to go, what happened? So I just call it homework. Have you done your homework? And they'll go, oh, yeah, no, Bron. Or, okay, why didn't you do your homework? Like, what's going on? And there will be something as to why. And at the end of the day, if we want to be harsh, we would say it's an excuse.
Yes. Yeah. And I think one of the things I know I read from yours, the other tip is just to breathe.
Yeah.
It's not as real. It's not as bad as you think it is. There's a lot more going on that's gone on this year. I think we've got a little bit more balance in our lives this year. I would like to hope that we continue to remember that. But how can people get in touch with you, and what would you like them to do? Because I know people, the listeners are going to have some questions that they, want to ask.
So they can go to the website if they want to contact through that, if that's easier. So just the normal marshpartners.com.au. Again, I'm happy just to have a chat. So if they want to grab the phone, again, all those details are on the website. Email addresses, everything are all there. And even just have a look on the website. There's lots of tips and tricks on there, lots of articles. Just Google search it and you'll be able to, you know, maybe there's something there that, you know, you're struggling with today and you just want a quick answer or whatever. Just have a look. There's articles there on lots of different topics.
So Marsh and Partners has got the little and sign, hasn't it?
Not
in the website. So just say the website again, please.
Marsh Partners.
Okay. marshpartners.com.au. That's easy to remember. Anything that you want to add before we wrap up, Bronwyn?
I don't think so. I think it really is, you know, my last takeaway point was that breathe factor. It's okay. Give yourself permission. Tomorrow's another day. If you've had a bad day, it's okay. And, you know, you've done this for a reason. You've gone into business. Go and have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we started, wasn't it? And is definitely have some fun with it. Thank you very much. That's Bronwyn Condon from Marsh and Partners. I really appreciate that, really good expert business advice, and for people just to, you know, make sure that you take the time to understand your business, I suppose, and then plan for where you want to go and what you want to achieve. absolutely. Thank you, Bronwyn. And that's marshpartners.com.au. I don't want to get that wrong. And ask for Bronwyn when you ring through. She'll be more than happy to help. That's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm so glad that you could be here and listening to this today. Have a wonderful fortnight, and I will be back again with the next episode. Remember that you can get in contact with me by going to JeaneVosper.com and booking a 20-minute just free strategy call, and we can talk about anything that I might be able to help you with, or I'm a great connector, or anyone that I'll be able to suggest might be able to help you with your problem in your business. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.